This is Will's Band of the Week for September 17th, 2012. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
I'm going to call it live in studio.
Yep, I am here.
He's here, and...
Chris is not here. He's busy again. He's going to be busy for a little while. So,
I was going to contact him and see if we could get him for a cameo tonight, but then we kind of were, like, going back and forth on the time, and we had some serious negotiations, and so... I never got around to notifying Chris. Sorry, Chris, but hey, you can tell us, right? You can tell us when you're available.
Yeah. So he's only got himself to blame.
Yeah. I'm not taking the blame for this.
No, not that we're pointing fingers, but...
Right. You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com. You can also post a comment on the web site, willsband.net. What else can you do? Well, you can download the podcast on iTunes or the Stitcher app, and you can find us on the social media. Facebook and Twitter are the social media, and there is no other social media that I recognize. Do you think we should be on Google Plus?
I don't think we need to be on Google Plus, no.
Is anybody?
We do have a Pinterest thing, though.
Yeah.
Right, but that's dormant.
It's kind of dormant.
Yeah. I'm not interested in that anymore.
We kind of had fun with it for a couple
of
weeks.
A couple of weeks, yeah.
You can still go there and find the great art that Barrett put up there. I think I put a few things. Didn't I put some guitars up there?
Yeah, you put guitars up there.
Yeah.
I put... what did I put up there? I put some... A couple of news things. You put up...
There were some album covers.
Some podcasts. Yeah.
And there was some whiskey up there, too.
Some whiskey, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we for a while, we were... posting all of the alcohol that would, you know, sponsor the podcast.
Right.
And this week, we've got a brand new sponsor.
We do.
Hams.
It's Hams. Yep. It's according to the can, it's America's classic premium beer born in the land of sky blue waters.
Yeah.
Wasn't that La Crosse, Wisconsin?
No, this was in Minnesota.
I thought they were one of those G. Heilemann lacrosse beers.
I mean, they might be made now by... I'm sure it's contracted out now.
Now it's Milwaukee.
Okay, so Miller makes
Hams
it
Hams Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that they had that bear, that cartoon bear that would be, you know, paddling down a river?
With sky blue...
From the land of sky blue waters. And then,
right, yeah. Yeah. That was a total 70s thing, right? Maybe even like late 60s. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So that music there was not 38 Special. I decided that I would entertain you with the karaoke version of Taken Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive. Remember that song?
I do.
Okay, so this is a 70s thing. And so it came up this week because my son and I were at a sub sandwich style restaurant, and Taking Care of Business came on. And I said, do you know this song? And he said, I think I've heard it before. And I said, well, this is by a band called Bachman Turner Overdrive. And then he asked me if they were a one-hit wonder. And I said, well, actually, no. This was probably their biggest hit, but they had some other songs too. And I don't know what you thought about Taking Care of Business, but when I was a teenager, we just thought it was terrible. Like that, even back in the 70s, was considered like just a bad song. One time I was at a battle of the bands with my friends, the band The Resistors, and they were playing in a battle of the bands in Green Bay. This is probably like 1977 or something.
Okay.
78 maybe. And there were three bands at this battle of the bands that played Taking Care of Business.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh,
I think you mentioned that once.
It was like the
That's
bad
funny.
Oh god. But anyway, yeah. So then I started to look at Bachman Turner Overdrive, and I was remembering that they had some kind of good stuff. And let's just play something here. This is Bachman Turner Overdrive. Remember that?
I do. I didn't know that that was them. Can you imagine if somebody put that out today? How badass that would sound?
Yeah, absolutely. So, so as I was listening to some of this old stuff, I was thinking, okay, these guys sound like they're kind of big guys with beards, and they're probably like from Alabama or something. Do you know where they're from?
No.
Not Alabama. Not even the south of the United States.
They're from, well, I would just be guessing. Are they from Ohio?
They're from Winnipeg.
Oh.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Wow.
Yeah. But they sound kind of like Southern rock, I think. So some of you might know this one. This was, I don't know what their biggest hit was. I fear that it was Taking Care of Business, but this one I think was sort of popular. Good cowbell, right?
Yeah. Are cowbells always going to be funny now for the rest of time? Like you could never play one unironically again?
Probably like 30 years from now, people will have forgotten the joke about cowbells, and then you'll hear a cowbell,
yeah,
and
maybe.
Then you'll be like, what is that?
But then yeah. Like 50 and 60-year-olds will be
repeating
this old Will Ferrell line, like, hey, more cowbell.
Right.
And then the young kids then will be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like if you said, where's the beef? Like kids don't know what that means.
Right. Yeah, they don't.
You know?
Yeah. So anyway, Bachman Turner Overdrive, they kind of got, after a while, I think, referred to as BTO a lot, right?
Yeah.
What a great name. They had a guy named Bachman and a guy named Turner, and they call their band Bachman Turner Overdrive.
That's pretty good.
It's a band to not be messed with, right? I'm on a roll here. I'm going to play one more. This one I kind of have like childhood memories of. It's called Roll On Down the Highway. When the guy sings, just listen. It sounds like he'd be a guy with a beard.
I don't think I ever heard that song except in the commercial that they use it for. They use it in an auto commercial now.
Oh, okay. Well, don't you think it sounds sort of like it might have influenced 38 Special a little bit?
Yeah, I could hear that.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking they might have aspired to be like BTO, but they went a little poppier, kind of. Did 38 Special ever have a cowbell?
Probably, yeah.
They must have had one. They had two drummers. We probably talked about this before.
Yeah.
38 Special, they'd be playing like one of these poppy Southern rock songs, and there'd be two drummers playing like two full drum kits playing like the exact same thing. It was the weirdest thing.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, there you go. A little Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Now, you're not going to hear that on a lot of podcasts, right?
That's right.
Just throwing in there a little bonus. That's not even one of the bands that we're going to talk about
it's
today.
Bonus content, yeah.
It's not one of the official Will's bands of the week.
It was an unofficial. So I don't think there's any music news, right? No news is being made.
I didn't hear any news.
The nope. Music is the news, right? Just the fact that the two albums we're talking about tonight have come out, that's news in
itself,
right?
That's news right there.
Yeah. So let's talk about Cat Power. There's a person called Cat Power.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Marshall.
Yeah.
And she's from Georgia, right? And then she moved to New York, I think. She's been making music for probably 15 years.
Yeah, doesn't she go so? Like 6 years between albums?
Yeah, it's been a long time since the last one.
So the last one had, was that the covers album?
I think so, yeah.
And she's kind of known for being sort of shy and quirky and like deathly afraid of playing in front of audiences, right? And stuff like that, right?
I read two interviews. One was in Pitchfork and the other one, I don't remember where. But in each case, the writer pointed out that she was constantly saying to her and anybody else, "Are you mad at me?" Like, about everything. They're
wow.
Just like, you know, they're getting some lunch and about to do the interview. And then to the waitress, "Are you mad at me?"
Yeah, she's...
Maybe that's an act.
She's a different kind of a character for sure.
Yep, and now she's turned 40 and put out a new album.
And it's kind of, I'm going to call it diverse.
Yeah.
Because it really has a bunch of different styles on it, and it's kind of interesting. So
I like it quite a bit.
I think we should let you take the first pick here.
First one I'm going to pick is called Manhattan, and it's the only one that really sounds like this on here. And if you listen, I think it sounds a little bit like that band Broadcast.
Oh, yeah. So, I remember them a little bit.
Yeah. So she does a lot of harmonizing with herself, and throughout this album, there's a lot of that, and I like that quite a bit.
It has a lot of interesting sounds on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think from track to track, not only is the, you know, just the style different, but also just the different kinds of sounds. So I don't know how this was recorded, you know, whether she was at the helm with all these different sounds or whether she had a bunch of old friends or whatever. She's the kind of person that would have, like, friends in the music industry, though, right?
Right.
You could call. You know who you call if you want to be cool these days? You call Bryce Dessner from The National, right? You say, "Hey, Bryce. Yeah. She helped me out a little bit on this album. Yeah. Then you have Instant Cred, right?
Yeah. Well, the guy, one of the guys from TV on the Radio does a lot of stuff too, which I can't remember his name.
Is that Psytech? Is that his name?
I don't even know.
Dave Psytech or something like that. Yeah. All right, let's see. I think I kind of like the sort of darker stuff on here. So this one's kind of, I'm going to call it dark. It's probably the wrong word, but too bad. It's called Human Being. That's an interesting vocal thing she does there, where she's got like this kind of lower register, sort of almost monotonous thing, and then she's singing, like fully singing an octave higher.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
It is nice.
Yeah. So the album is called Sun. I think we forgot to mention that earlier.
S-U-N.
Right. And that's Cat Power. So what else do we have here?
Well, I'm gonna go against the stereotype that I don't like the poppy stuff, right? I picked the kind of a poppy one, the first one, and I'm going to pick the poppiest one of all. And it might even be the single. I don't pay attention to these things. You always seem to know what the single is. But 369, is that the first single off the
thing? No, it's not. I don't think so. No.
Hmm.
But it's a good pick, I think. I feel tired, awake all night, head so heavy like a whisk basket. I feel choked, emotionally broke, in the gutter, and I'm still looking down, feel alone. I want out, I want on my own, I want everything I own. I find letters, pictures, memories of what you can't see to let go. In your bedside table, in your pocket, in your wallet, you know. Said you got a right to have that hand you're on the moment you Yep.
Yeah, it's got some auto tune in there, and
yeah,
lots of layers on the vocals, and
you know what the piano riff reminded me of?
What?
Jack White.
Yeah.
I was thinking like,
oh,
he would do that. He likes to do that kind of bluesy piano thing.
I can kind of hear that.
That's Cat Power. I've got one more.
All right.
And I'm going to illustrate the what I was saying about the different interesting sounds. This one I like because it has a fun, crunchy guitar sound. It's the last track, Peace and Love.
Cat Power is Sun. Yeah, that's that does show, I think, the four ones that we chose, a real diversity of sound.
Yeah, and play the other seven tracks and you'll find more diversity of sound. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I like it. I think it's one of, it's creeping into my favorite albums of the year.
Great.
Yeah.
I like most of it. There's an almost 11-minute song that maybe appropriately is called Nothing But Time, which didn't need to be 11 minutes long. But
right.
I always criticize things for that, you know, for being too long.
Right.
So it could have been 4 minutes. But a lot of interesting, good stuff on the album. So that's Cat Power. So should we move on to the next artist?
Let's do it.
Okay, so to do that, I must first pose the question, which is, are you ready to rock?
I am ready to rock.
Okay.
Good. Are you asking me or the listeners?
Well, I was asking you, but I think listeners were being kind of asked along.
Yeah, they could play along.
Yeah. So, Bob Mould, he's got a new album, and many of you know Bob Mould as being an old-timer. So, we have a thing sometimes for the old-timers here, right?
Right.
So, he was the front man. I guess there were sort of two front men, but he was, I consider him the main front man. For a Minneapolis band, or maybe St. Paul. Actually, he went to college at a small school in St. Paul, where my sister also went, McAllister College.
Mm-hmm.
And the band was called Husker Du, and Bob Mould was the guitar player and singer of at least half the songs, and then Grant Hart was the drummer. And they had this kind of like tension, right? Because they, you know, there'd be the Bob Mould songs and the Grant Hart songs, and I always liked the Bob Mould songs better myself.
Right.
So it's kind of cool now to be like a Husker Du fan because, you know, they're sort of legendary, right? But to be totally honest, I wasn't that big of a Husker Du fan. I was kind of curious about them. I kind of appreciated them and sort of liked them, but I wasn't buying their albums and thinking, wow, this is my favorite band or anything like that.
Right. I was kind of the same way.
Even though I lived in Minneapolis during, you know, part of their heyday, when some of their big releases came out and the local press would go just nuts over them, you know, kind of like the Replacements. They were contemporaries. So after Husker Du broke up in, God, it was, what, the mid-80s, 87, 88. I don't think they made it to 1990, did they?
Yeah, no.
Not sure. It might have
been. Late 80s, though.
Yeah. So then Bob Mould had a solo career, and probably when he came out with his first solo album, I liked that quite a bit. And so I've been kind of following Bob Mould, and he's done a bunch of different type stuff. And now he's got an album. I think he's either 51 or 52 years old, and he just decided to make a rockin' album. And I think he just totally succeeded. It's called Silver Age. And I'm saying I think it's really rocking.
All right, let's hear piece of evidence number one.
Piece of evidence number one, and if you want to fully realize the rockin'ness of it, turn it up right now. Whatever you're listening on, just turn it up really loud. Bob Mould, I think he's rocking.
Yeah, that would fit in at some of that those later period Husker Du records, like after they left SST and they put out a couple of major label things. Like
yeah,
Candy Apple Gray and
right. It New probably Day could. Rising. It's more cleanly recorded though, and I think it just really, I just really like it a lot. Mm-hmm. The drummer he's got now is the guy from Superchunk, and I think he has played before with Bob Mould, so they have a tight band and they're sounding great.
Wait,
so,
who's the drummer from Superchunk? It's not John Worster, is it?
Yeah, it's John Worster.
Wow, that's amazing. John Worster is always appears on that The Best Show podcast with Tom Sharpling.
Oh yeah, right.
I knew he was
right.
A drummer, but I couldn't remember which band he played for.
Yeah. So he's a drummer on this.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. So.
Cool.
He knows how to rock. So, well, let's play some more. Have you had any chance to listen to this?
Nope.
I know I told you about it. So, yeah. All right. Again, it's going to be, see if we can get Barrett to listen more. So this one is called The Descent.
Yeah.
That's Bob Mould. The album is Silver Age, and he's proving you can still rock
when you're in their Silver Age.
When you're in the Silver Age.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. That's good stuff.
He and I are both in the Silver Age in more ways than one.
Yeah. He's older than you.
Maybe just a little.
Just a little. Not much older. Still.
Yeah.
You know, when people are rocking and they're older than you, you've got to, you know.
It's
you
good.
Just take that. You don't need to qualify it and say, well, barely. I mean, period.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
Older.
Period. Let's call it that. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's good.
So let's play one more because, well, the whole album has rock and guitars, but this is a rock and guitar. It's the beginning of the album, and, you know, when you have a rock and album, you want to set it, you know, on the right tone, right? And start it with a rock and guitar.
Right.
So you grab the people with that rock and guitar. So here it is, Star Machine.
Bob Mould rocking just as you said it would.
Yeah, I don't lie about these kinds of things.
You're not lying at all.
So I was out in public. It was kind of dangerous because I was listening to this with an iPod and headphones, and I just wanted to like launch into an air guitar riff, you know? And then I realized I guess I better not because I'd look foolish.
You might.
So I didn't do it, but I thought about it.
You can do that at home.
Because it was rocking. Yeah. Yeah, this...
You could have done it. You weren't doing it here. You could have done it here.
I could have, yeah. I could have... Yeah. Chris could have brought in his video camera into the studio like he did that one time, and I could have done a...
We need to do that
Bob
again.
Bob Mould air guitar. Yeah, we need to update it.
Yep.
Yeah, we should. Especially because we probably look so much more professional now. We're so much more comfortable sitting here and just talking and not being self-conscious about the... thousands and thousands of people listening.
Right.
We don't think about that. We just...
You can't.
For us,
I mean,
just,
if we did...
Right.
We'd freeze up, you know.
But instead, to us, it's just like we're just having a conversation.
Having a conversation and talking some music.
Right.
Playing some little samples and, you know, in this case today, having a hams.
Right.
Which is kind of good, you know.
It's not too bad,
it's not bad.
It's not like terrible beer or anything.
You know, we've got to do sometime. We had a whiskey tasting contest, right?
Yeah.
On this show, and we all passed...
Right.
We've got to have, like, a cheap beer contest, you know, identification. We've got Hams, you know, Pabst, Schlitz.
Yeah.
And Miller High Life.
Maybe Old Style.
And Old Style. Did I leave anybody out? Did I say, I said Pabst.
I don't know. There's got to be something.
You
got to
put them all head to head and see who comes out on top.
Blatz, maybe?
Blatz.
I think, you know, of the sort of like retro beers, I'm calling them retro, because some of these, it seems like they stopped brewing them and then they brought the label back, right?
Right.
Either that or they became really small. But of the ones that I've had recently, I think Schlitz is actually pretty good. Have you had that recently? It's not too bad.
I had it like 2 years ago.
I haven't dared to try an Old Milwaukee, though.
I don't think you need to try
I don't
try
think
those.
I've had an Old Milwaukee for like 25 years.
Maybe. Does anybody make Stroh's? Remember Stroh's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that one went away. Or Falstaff?
Falstaff. See, Wisconsin people, we know, are cheap beer.
Grain Belt?
Yeah. My brother-in-law is still a Grain Belt fan. I think, is that a Minnesota beer?
Yeah.
He's a Minnesota guy, and he's a Grain Belt guy. Yeah.
Then you got your Schmidt.
Yeah, Schmidt was a big one in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, anyway, one more thing. During one of the songs, I was showing Will the standings in the National League wild card, and you may wonder why we haven't talked about the Brewers much at all this entire year.
Right.
They've been really, really bad.
They have been just terrible. They just like starting in, what, June? They were not even then. I mean, they were the last time they were over 500, and for those of you who don't know baseball terminology, 500 means you've won the equal number of games as you have lost. So if you're over 500, you've won more games than you've lost. Now, this season, the last time they were over 500 was in April when they were 4-3.
Right.
And then they just were losing like crazy, and everybody just completely wrote them off. And now they've gone on this big winning streak, and now they're back to being over 500 again.
Yeah, they're like, two over 500.
They're just barely better than average.
They've
now
passed the Pirates. The Pirates just fell apart. I actually feel kind of bad for them.
Yeah, they completely fell apart.
And I think they're only behind, well, they're in front of the Phillies too. They're behind one other team.
They're behind
2.5 behind
St. Louis. They're behind St. Louis, and they're behind LA Dodgers, right?
Okay. And then
there might be one other one too.
Right. And then, yeah, those two teams have the wild card, like the inside track right now, if the season ended today. Then there's one other team, probably Atlanta. And then the Brewers.
There's one team that has like a super good record, and they're going to have like the first wild card for sure. That might be Atlanta.
Okay.
And then,
well, then one of those three teams that you said is on the outside looking in.
They added a second wild card, and then it's a one-game playoff, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but it makes it like an exciting showdown, I guess.
Right.
So well, we don't think they're going to make the Brewers will make the playoffs, but if they do, we're just warning you that we'll probably get excited and talk about
them. I actually think that they are now. I didn't a week ago, but
of the four teams in contention, you think the Brewers are going to win out?
They've got two and a half games to make up. That's it.
Well, 2.5 to beat one team, but then it only takes one of those other three teams to also get hot, and then they're out. So I think mathematically, they have still it's a really difficult thing. But you know,
two of the three teams in front of them need to play poorly, not all three.
Well, and then the third one has to play average, and the Brewers have to keep winning.
Right.
Right? That's what has to happen. So, well, time will tell. Yeah. So,
just trying to hold out a little hope here, and then Will squashed it.
I always come back to reality, and I crush people's dreams.
Yeah, thanks.
Terrible, isn't it? Sorry. You came here in a good mood, and now I got you all bummed. It's not going to happen. We had the greatest time last year when the Brewers got to the playoffs. And a bunch of guys on my block, we did like a male bonding experience and went to the game. And it was a blast.
Yeah.
It was great. That's what American sports is, right? It's a male bonding experience.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just great. Super fun. So, well, boy, I don't think we can kill enough time to make an hour this week. But we've got to kind of be efficient because we're trying to get caught up. And back on our schedule, we just can't seem to do it.
Been recording on Sunday nights half the time, it seems. And
This one, I might not be able to get this one out till Monday night. I think that seems likely. But I think the listeners will understand, right?
Yeah.
Keep them waiting for one more day. Hopefully they won't give up on us completely.
I think they can.
They might be pretty angry, though, about that one day. But
live with it. It's free. Come on. Yeah. What do you guys want?
We haven't played any 38 special this week, so maybe we better do that.
Just a little outro music?
a little, you know, it's got... But as we've said before, this is not 38 Special. This is the karaoke band. We were speculating, like, how much money did these guys make?
Right.
They get 20 cents, right? When I play this right now, some guy he might not even have a beard. He might just be like a beard imposter,
right?
In a studio, he's getting like 20 cents because I'm playing this. Not even.
I think like
it can't if, be. If,
yeah, like
it'd be like a penny, right?
It's like fractions of a penny for each play.
That's pretty bad.
It is bad.
Oh man.
But
you know. Now, would the karaoke band get something, and also would 38 Special get something because they're the writers?
Yeah, I guess the writer, like the actual writer, but not
the writer and the performer both should get something.
I don't think
something.
The performer would get anything.
Well, you got to get something.
Why?
You mean if you release an album of cover songs, you get money.
Yeah, you have to pay the songwriter.
Well, right, but not the whole thing. You pay them a royalty for the
right,
copyright.
Right, but you don't pay the rest of the band doesn't get anything.
Yeah, you're selling a product, so you get the money for it, right? So, like, if I make a covers album and then I sell it in stores, you know, I'm going to get whatever cut of the profit, but then yes. I just have to pay off the people at whatever the royalty rate is, but it wouldn't be all of it.
No, it wouldn't be all of it, but it would only be to the songwriter, too.
Right.
Yeah, I thought you were arguing against that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is then that like, if you sell a CD, you get the money. If you're on Spotify, they've got to give you some money instead of because it's the alternative to selling a physical CD, right?
Uh-huh.
So they've got to give the performer and the writer something.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. In this case, I thought you meant like the two drummers from 38 Special would also get...
Oh, right, right. Thing. Okay, no.
Yeah, no.
Right, I see what you're saying. Right. But all the performers of the karaoke version, depending on, you know, that karaoke band, maybe it's just one guy. But
that'd be a pretty good gig.
I want to know if that guy's got a beard, though. I want to know what the guy who recorded the karaoke version... Let's see. It's called Artist is the Karaoke Channel. I mean, come on. They don't even have a band name. They're the Karaoke Channel. Let's see. Let's see how well they can do Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. Whoops, I had the volume down. Okay. Oops. Should we try to sing it?
You can.
Hey, Mo!
That was pretty good.
This isn't too bad, right?
Yeah, it's decent.
Oh, God, they have some terrible stuff. They do Huey Lewis and the News and Linda Ronstadt. Here's the best of disco music. I'm scrolling through to try to find something good here. The Karaoke Channel. Sing Like Kool and the Gang. Sing Like Korn. 1988 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee songs. Let's see how they do Help Me Rhonda. In the style of the Beach Boys.
That's pretty weak.
Well, maybe sound-wise, but the guy can play, right?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Look at this. Sing songs sung by bearded singers. They actually have this. It's guys with beards. So, like, here's ZZ Top. Taking Care of Business, karaoke was actually in the bearded category. I wasn't sure if they had beards. It seems like they should, though.
We can take this as proof positive.
Yeah, I think so.
Otherwise, it couldn't have put them in that song group.
Yeah. I don't see any Bon Iver in there. I wonder if there's any Bon Iver karaoke. Like, you'd be standing up there going, whoo, in a falsetto, right?
Yeah.
Trying to charm the people in the audience.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of strange, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure how that would go over.
Chris would do that, wouldn't he?
He'd do that.
I think he would.
Yeah. Although if he was drunk, he'd probably... I mean, that's the only way you can do karaoke, right?
Probably.
Is I think he'd pick something else. That's his softer side.
He'd do Guns N' Roses, I guess.
Yeah, he'd do something a little more rocking.
Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I've found this to be kind of a fun thing on Spotify, to just search for karaoke, because you can just find all kinds of stuff. You could do that, and like if you're going on a trip in your car, I'm going to try this sometime. You're driving somewhere by yourself, right? Just put a whole bunch of, make a playlist of a bunch of karaoke, and just sing in your car. Yeah. It'd be great, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to, I don't know the words to that many songs.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But you could kind of just make the sounds, right?
That's true. You just kind of
mumble
through it hit the words, the key words in the chorus and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys must like make a lot of money because they've got like ridiculous sections of you know, bands that you would never, like karaoke of the band Godsmack.
Yeah.
What the hell's that? Come on.
I don't know.
And then they have a lot of categories. Here's the best of garbage. Let's see how they do Only Happy When It Rains. I think that's okay. But I don't know the song that well, but here's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I might put that one in my car. All right. So there you go. A little karaoke for you. Now, that's just one, of course. That's just the karaoke channel. But if you type in karaoke on Spotify, you get all kinds of stuff. So check it out.
Good for a car trip, right?
I think so, yeah.
As you said, a solo one or even with the family. I don't know if you could get... Grant wouldn't participate.
You know what my wife and I like to sing? My wife and I like to sing this song. We were singing this at the dining room table, and our kids were repulsed. You know, there's a part where they kind of go crazy. Let's see, I gotta find it. There we go.
Hopefully you guys had the good sense to cut out before that part.
That's the fun part to sing. Right here, this part here. That part. Isn't that great?
Yeah. You guys are more familiar with this song than the average person, I think.
Try singing that at the dining room table. See what Wilson does. That's a classic. Yeah. That's Three Dog Night, by the way. We should probably talk about them sometime on the podcast. That's a classic band from the 70s, if there ever was one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I am not going to try to get this one to go an hour. We're close enough, right?
Yeah.
And we've got more good music. I've got four or five bands we could talk about, but a couple that I think I mentioned to you that we can maybe put on the front burner.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we cut it off now, by the time we edit this thing down, if people gave us an hour, ends a little early, they can go read a book.
Yeah.
You know, sit down and, I don't know, do a crossword puzzle.
They could do something more valuable with their time.
I didn't say that, but something different.
Yeah, something different. Yeah. So do that and enjoy it. And, well, maybe we'll get back on a regular recording schedule. At some point, I think we will. And isn't it fun? There's so much good music out there to listen to right now.
Yeah.
And there's more stuff coming out. It's good. You know, the September, October just seems to be like, that's prime time. And then, of course, it'll die down again in November because everything has to be released for the holiday season, right?
Right.
So since, like, 75% of the American economy rests on people buying holiday gifts for other people and then shopping for themselves as long as they're at it, right?
Right.
Yeah. When I was about 16, I worked at a mall jewelry store because I knew somebody, and he said, oh, I can get you this job. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I would engrave, they had this machine, and I would engrave stuff on people's, like, you know, somebody would buy, like, a chain, and it had their boyfriend or girlfriend's name on it, you know, and right. I would engrave the name on it, you know. So
freehand, or?
No, there's this machine, and you basically, like, trace on a this metal template. You, like, okay. trace it, and then you have to carefully push down this thing that digs into the piece.
Right.
And then it engraves it. So, why did I bring that up?
I don't know.
It had something to do with what we were just talking about.
Something about music. I'm just guessing.
I think I that know. Was relevant to something.
Anyway, so, that's a fun job. I used to work at a pickle factory. I'll tell you about that sometime.
I think you mentioned that before.
I did, yeah.
Damn, what's the jewelry store story? Do I have to tell it next week now? Because yeah. now I can't remember
you
what the story was.
You have to listen to it while you're editing and then...
Yeah, and I'll be like, we'll, oh, that was it. That was the story.
This is what they call a cliffhanger.
So we're going to leave them hanging. There's a reason that I brought up the yeah. jewelry store.
And they know it, and we don't know it. That's kind of interesting, right? They know what the reason is, I think, because you introduced the idea. I mean, you didn't bring it up.
Yeah, so it probably...
So if anybody's listening...
So you think maybe I've tied it in already?
Kinda.
Yeah, maybe I have.
You didn't just start saying it like...
Well, maybe
you
know, I did
it was
because...
part of a flowing conversation.
But maybe it hadn't tied back into the relevance yet.
All right, well...
Yeah, I don't know. Something must have happened when I was working at that jewelry store, and I don't know what it was, so we'll find out next week, won't we? All right, let's say goodnight, and then the listeners can go do what they need to do.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.